We're going to be in Psalm 101, 102, 103, and the title tonight of the word is "The World Has No Benefits." Say that with me. The world has no benefits, especially for the believer. Amen? But that's in Psalm 103. That's our main text tonight. But in order to get there, we have to start in Psalm 101, which is a psalm of David. And this is a great psalm because it's been titled many different titles. Let me give you a few of them. Someone has titled it "A King's Promise." Others, "The Ideal King." Others, "The King's Promise to God." And another title, "The Moral Code of a King." So with all that being said, let's begin now in verse 1 of Psalm 101. He writes and he says something that he's going to be doing. He says, "I will sing," David says, "of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises." Now watch verse 2. "I will behave wisely in" what kind of way? "A perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house" with what kind of a heart? "A perfect heart." Now listen, God himself said that David, the son of Jesse, the king of Israel, the mighty, the sweet psalmist of Israel, God himself said that David was a man after his own heart. Amen? However, when I look at this, and I have to say, David, man, what was that? Perfect way, perfect heart? There's only one person that I know that has ever walked this earth and behaved and lived in a perfect way with a perfect heart, and that is our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? However, David does say, I want you to notice that, he does say, "I can't do any of this." And he says, "Unless you come to me, unless you empower me to do those things." Remember what Jesus said in John 15, 5? He says, "Without me, you can do absolutely nothing." Now, let's look at David's plan to accomplish this. He says in verse 3, number 1, he says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." The word "wicked" there means a worthless thing, anything that is wicked and worthless and so forth. And that means that you'd have to never turn on your TV set again. It means that 99.9% of what is heard on TV today, unless you're on channel 13 PBS Nova, you know what I'm saying? Like the Nova and whatever the others are. I don't watch. I just like the animals, you know. I mean, I can live with that, you know. Except when they tell you that, you know, we came from the monkey. That bothers me. Now, so he says, "I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes." And look at the rest. "I hate the work of those who fall away." He says, "Those who turn away from you, God, I hate that that's happening." He says, "It shall not cling to me." In other words, I will have absolutely nothing in common with those kind of people. And he says, "A perverse heart shall depart from me," that twisted heart, a heart that'll take you in any direction. He says, "And I will not know wickedness," or "I'll have no dealings with wickedness" is better. He says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy." That's pretty strong words, isn't it? Literally, it means I will silence that individual. He's the king, remember. He says, "The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eye shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me," or literally, that they may live in my palace with me. "And he who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me." In other words, those will be my advisors and my associates, David says. So he says that I'll banish those kind of people from my court and so forth, and I'll surround myself with faithful people, not prideful people. Do you know what a blessing it is to be surrounded with faithful men and faithful women? What a blessing that is. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" When it comes to talking about a woman, it says in Proverbs 31, 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is above rubies." Verse 7, it says, "He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house," will not serve me, in other words. "And he who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. That's wisdom, don't you think? In other words, he's saying, if we brought it up to today's language, Christian, don't hang out with people who deceive other people. Don't hang out with a bunch of liars. Amen? Boy, who wants to hang out with a liar? Dear Lord. You know, that. Oh. It says in verse 8, it says, early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, meaning the nation. So when he says destroy the wicked of the land, he's talking here about those criminals. He says that I may cut off, or literally not kill them. The word cut off there probably is speaking of capital punishment. So he says, I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. He says, early I'll do that. Don't you wish it was just that easy? Don't you wish that we could clean up our city just like that? Don't you wish we could just clean up our nation so easy? Amen? But that's not how it works, is it? That's not how it works at all. Look at our land tonight. Oh, Lord, we're in trouble. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. Now, Psalm 102. This is a prayer of the afflicted, if you will. He's overwhelmed, and he's going to pour out his complaints to God. But this person, we don't know who he is. He's a nameless person, and he is in a lot of trouble and distress. Let's go in 102:1. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you, and do not hide your face from me in the day of trouble. Incline your ear to me, and in the day that I call, answer me speedily. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been in, you know, Lord, here I am and I'm in such need and I don't know where you are. I feel that you're so far from me. I feel that you're even hiding from me. That's what he says. He said, would you just answer me speedily, Lord? And look at the reason for the urgency here. He says, for my days are consumed like smoke. In other words, my life is just like smoke rising up and disappearing. He says, my bones are burned like a hearth or like an oven or a furnace. My heart is stricken and withered like grass. You ever seen grass that is so withered from being walked upon and it's just laying over? That's what he's talking about. He says, so that I forget to eat bread. My appetite is all gone, in other words. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. Lord, I'm just reduced to skin and bones, in other words. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. What do you think that means? A pelican. Aren't they around the ocean? I've never seen a pelican in the desert, have you? No. I'm lonely. I'm not where I need to be, in other words. He says, I'm like an owl in the desert. I lie awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. He says, Lord, listen, I have no one to comfort me, and I am so lonely. I am like an insignificant little sparrow all by themselves. He says, my enemies reproach me all day long, and those who deride or mock me swear an oath against me, for I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Remember, ashes speak of grieving, okay? So he's saying here that, you know, Lord, grieving is my only food, and not only that, I'm mixing my grief and my tears together, and that's my daily diet. He says, because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up. And look what he says that God has done to him. And you've cast me away. He's saying, literally, you've thrown me away like people throw away garbage. Do you believe that? God doesn't do that. Amen? No, God is for this man. Believe me. Man, God's the answer to his problem, and he's the answer to our problem tonight as well. Verse 11, my days are like shadows that lengthen, and I wither away like grass. He says, my life is nearly over, Lord. He says, I'm just like the evening shadow is coming in, the night is approaching, and it's going to be over for me. But look what he says. Now faith is going to arise in his heart. He says, but you, O Lord, you endure forever. Aren't you glad that God sits on his throne governing forever and ever and ever? Amen. And the remembrance of your name to all generations. In other words, no one will ever forget you, Father. He says, listen, you will arise and you're going to have mercy on Zion, meaning there in Jerusalem, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. So all of a sudden, faith starts arising in his heart, man. And he's saying, listen, I know that you'll never forsake those that you love. And I'll tell you, God will never forsake us. And you know what? There are times, all of us, we go through, you know, and you get down. And you don't know why you're down. You ever been there? Yes, you feel depressed and you don't even know why you're depressed, what caused it to be depressed. You don't know when that oppression comes on you and you're going, man, Lord, I feel like you're a million miles away. Listen, boy, we don't walk by the way we feel, do we? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And we have to keep our head up. We have to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, the devil wants you down on the ground and not worshiping God, but I mean where you're just beat. That's what he wants. But he's the beaten one. He's the defeated one, not you. Amen? You don't want to forget that tonight, loved one. He says, oh, for your servants, they take pleasure in her stones. Now, he's talking about the temple of Jerusalem that's destroyed. So he says, for your servants have taken pleasure in her stones and favor to her dust. He says, So the nations will fear your name, the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. In other words, Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. The temple's going to be rebuilt again. And he shall appear in his glory, and he shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. And this will be written for the generations to come. And we're one of those generations, loved one, that a people yet to be created. That's, man, that was us, wasn't it? Yet to be created, what are they going to do? May praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. That is one day future, isn't it? That's when this world that has absolutely no benefit to the believer is all gone, loved one. This is the millennial reign of Christ when Jesus sets up his kingdom upon the earth. Now, with all that being said, the psalmist, he's this guy in distress. He's going to return now to his original complaint. Verse 23, he says, he weakened my strength in the way. In other words, he's saying, you know, I'm a young person. And now it's over with. He's shortened my days. And I said, oh God, do not take me away. That literally means don't take me up. Don't take me home. Not yet. He says, oh, don't do that in the midst of my days. In other words, extend my life, oh Lord, for your years throughout all generations. Now listen, when we get to this next verse, we can also probably label this psalm as a messianic psalm, because we're getting ready to, the psalmist is going to quote, or I should say the author of Hebrews quotes these verses in Hebrews 1:10 through 12. So let me read them to you in verse 25. It says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Now look what it says in the next verse. They will what? Perish. They're going to perish. The world, there's no benefit in this world for the believer. He says, oh no. He says, you created everything. You created the heavens. You created the earth, and they will perish. But look at you, but look what he says. He's speaking about Jesus, by the way, if we went to Hebrews. He says, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. In other words, this world is wearing out. Did you know that? It's wearing out. Just like when we grow and we get older, have you ever noticed? You look in the mirror and you say, man, I look worn out, huh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, loved one, you don't take a selfie then. No. No. He says, oh, they'll grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You, meaning God, you will change them and they will be changed, or literally, they will be exchanged. Listen, the world has no benefits, not for the believer, loved one. You know why? It says the world's going to perish. Everything that's been created. God says, I have no premium on anything in this world. Isn't that great to know? Listen, you know, you go to the Louvre and look at there in Paris at all the incredible artwork. Man, I mean, they have art in the Louvre that's taller than this ceiling, you know, where they, and you just, it blows you away to see that. You know, the Mona Lisa and all that. God doesn't have any, he's not in love with the Mona Lisa. Do you understand? The world is, and I kind of like it myself. However, God says, I place no premium on it, and everything that we see one day is going to be gone. It's going to perish. Everything that man fought for, lusted for, killed other people for, you know what? It was for nothing. Oh, it's all going to pass away. That's why we don't love the world. Amen? We don't love the things of the world. For the love, if you love the things of the world, the Father's not in those things. Amen? Oh, no. And I tell you, the world is passing away and the lust therein. But he who doeth the will of God, the Bible says, abideth forever and ever and ever. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Have you ever noticed that a person that's getting ready to rob your house doesn't call you up and say, I'm about to rob your house? He doesn't do that, does he? No, he's going to come as a thief at night. He didn't warn his victims. He says, oh, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth, the works that are in it will be burned up. One day, this world that has absolutely no benefit, not right now, not for the believer, loved one. Listen, one day it's all going to be gone. And you know what we have to do? What we continue to do is continually we build our lives on the one who will never, ever change. The one who created all things. The Bible says in verse 27, look at it now. But you, talking about Jesus, you're the same. You're the same. And your years, they have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Aren't you glad that when it's all said and done, whenever this place, the whole world, when it all passes away, whatever's going to happen, melt, whatever God wants to do, aren't you glad that Jesus never changes? And when the dust finally settles, guess who's going to be standing? Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess who's going to be standing with him? We are the church. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Listen, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is nothing in this world, absolutely nothing. Listen to me now. The world has no benefit. There's not one thing that you can hold on to in this world that's going to keep you stable. Did you know that? Not one thing. You know why? The world never ceases to change. It's always changing. From culture to culture, from year to year, from generation to generation, the old lies come back into the, and they think it's a new truth. You know what I'm saying? Everything, there's nothing new under the sun. No. Listen, the Bible tells us this in Malachi 3:6. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. I tell you what I love about the Lord. He never changes. Doesn't grow old, doesn't grow young. He's the same yesterday. You follow me? But everything I know, everything changes. Everything in this world changes. Matter of fact, you know, I remember Fort Worth when it was a good city. No, it's still a good city. But I remember when it was really, you know, and now, I mean, I don't even know my way around. There's so many people from California. No, I don't. I'm joking. I love people from California. Come on in. No. You know, but no, do you understand? Everything changes. There's a new street here, a new bridge here. Now the Panther Island Street or whatever it is. I get lost. You know, and that's not because there's something wrong up here. No. I remember when it was a lot more simpler than it is right now. Everything I know changes. But God never changes. His love never changes. His nearness never changes. His truth never changes. They're all eternal. Amen. Oh, and he loves us. And he's with us right now, tonight. But this world, it has no benefits, loved one. Now, Psalm 103, a psalm of David, a wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. Man, and listen, I want you to notice something in Psalm 103. There is not one request, okay? Matter of fact, someone called this psalm one of the most noblest hymns in the entire Old Testament. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. You ready? It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, the deepest part of me," David says. Oh, bless his holy name. Loved one, let's just be like David. And I mean, we're preparing our hearts right now for to celebrate the Lord's table. He is here with us. Amen. Oh, how he loves us. He died for us and so forth. All that is within me. Let me tell you something. The old man in Adam, the old dethroned man, can't bless the Lord. It takes a new man, amen, full of the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, that new creation to do this right here. Listen, the new man can do these things, and we can bless the Lord. You know why we can bless the Lord? Because we know who the source of all blessings is. Amen. We know. We know. The world doesn't know. The world has no benefit. Oh, listen, but we know tonight. What did Paul say in Ephesians 1:3? "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are blessed tonight. I don't care what the world says. The world has no benefit for me or you. I don't care what people say. I don't care what Bible colleges say. I care what God says. Amen? I'm telling you what, you are blessed tonight. I mean, you're blessed. You have been pronounced blessed. God says that, and God cannot lie. All you have to do is appropriate those blessings by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. God is so good. He says, "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul." And watch this now. "And forget not all his benefits." Man, the main reason for an ungrateful heart, you know what it is? We forget. Just think of all that God has done for you through your entire walk. Think about that. How he's rescued you. How he's delivered you. How he's forgiven you. How he's always there with you. How he leads you and guides you through all the difficulties. How he continues to work in you even when we are disobedient. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. You know what? Spurgeon said this, "We write our blessings in the sand, and we engrave our complaints in marble." What a true word. Let's never forget the benefits of God, the great truths of God. Look at verse 3. You ready for this one? "Who forgives how many of our iniquities?" Think of that. Listen to me. All, every one of them, not just a couple of them, everyone, God has wiped that slate clean. He forgives all of our iniquities. You know what the word iniquity means? That bent and twist in our nature, it means a transgression is stepping over the line. In other words, that is willful transgression. A sin is just missing the mark. Lord, I blew it. I didn't mean to do that, but I sinned. But iniquity is the want to. I want to sin. Are you listening to me? No, he says, "I've forgiven all of those. All, everything in the twisted nature of that old man." He says, "I have wiped them clean. They're all forgiven forever and ever and ever." And listen, that is our greatest, man's greatest need, the forgiveness of sins. In a few minutes, we're going to partake of the bread and the cup. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, listen, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat. And do this in remembrance of me." Jesus has said, don't forget, I was broken. You're not broken anymore. I put you back together. I made you a brand new man, a brand new woman. Amen? A new creation in Christ. I was broken for you. He says, do it in remembrance. Don't you ever forget it, that I was broken for you. Listen, the Lord forgives all of our sins, all of our iniquities. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, himself who bore our sins, meaning Jesus, in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Here it comes, by whose stripes, plural, you, past tense, were healed. It's the word bore means it means to carry our sins as an offering. And Jesus took our sins, the world's sins, as an offering upon the cross. He was made sin. He who never sinned. Amen? He took our punishment. He took our shame. He took our guilt. 1 John 3:5. And we know that he was manifested to take away, carry away, far away, carry away our sin. And in him, yet he had sinned not. Loved one, listen. I thank God that our sins are forgiven tonight. It says, by whose stripes we were healed. I'm quoting from Peter again. Man, listen, he was wounded for us. You know, the Bible teaches us that we were healed. It's past tense, meaning it's an accomplished fact. But listen carefully. In the context of Peter, we have to make sure we understand that one. In that context, that we were healed, he's talking about the security we now have in our salvation. Amen? Okay. Now, but then he goes to look at the psalmist again. Not only does he forgive all of our iniquities, he heals how many of our diseases? Do you know that you're going to be healed of all of your diseases one way or another? Either now or there. Amen? But that doesn't mean that God's not a healer. God is a healer. Boy, the Bible says that I am the Lord God who healeth thee. And I know God is a healer. I've seen the Lord heal so many people, loved one. It's unbelievable. But he heals all of our diseases. Isaiah 53:4, talking about the Messiah upon the cross. It says, surely, or literally, it is certain that he has borne our griefs. That word griefs means sicknesses, our weaknesses. Spiritual and physical. And he says, and he's carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. Listen, he carried our sickness, our grief. He didn't have any. He carried ours. Amen? He took it all for us. That's speaking of what happened on the cross. You know, let me ask you a question about healing. You know, I never doubt God's a healer anymore. I don't say that with any pride. It's just the fact I know God's a healer, but it's not up to me to determine when the miracle takes place. Did you know that? Amen. Yeah, I don't schedule miracles, but I certainly rely upon them. Amen? Yeah. And so the deal is this. You know, so many believers today, you know, if you get ill, if you become ill, I'm talking about I got a headache. I don't mean that. You know, I mean, if you're ill, if you're sick in your body, why not? I always say, why not call for the elders of the church first and then go see your doctor? You, do you understand? And I'm not saying not go see your doctor, if you can get in, you know. I don't even want to get into that part. Forgive me. No, what does the Bible teach us in the New Testament? In James 5:14-15, it says this, if anyone among you is sick. Now, you have a responsibility if you're sick and you desire to do something. It says, let him, we're not going to call you up. Let him or her, what? Call for the elders of the church, all right? Hey, that's why we have an altar. That's why we have oil. Do you understand? That's why we have elders. What do they do? It says, if anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, not the person who is sick, the person who's praying. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Listen to me. Jesus Christ, is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then why would we make Jesus less than he is now and than he was in the New Testament? Do you understand? Jesus is a healer. I don't understand healing, but I'm not, and I don't even, you know, it's like you've heard me say a million times about healing. I'm not called to try to reconcile why some people are healed and some people are not healed. God didn't call me to that. I'm called to believe that Jesus is a healer. So I just leave it with him. We pray for the sick. You know, I prayed for a lot of people, you know, and I was on a bad run for a long time. They just went on home. I mean, it was like I was telling people, don't call me to the hospital, you know, because unless you want to go home right now, because it's just not working for some reason. But then I've seen God bring incredible healing to people in my own life. God is a healer. Don't ever forget that. Don't limit God. Don't ever limit God. Amen. And don't ever put God in some theological box. Oh, listen, that's the worst thing we can do. He doesn't like boxes, okay? Now, with all that being said, look at verse 4. Look what else he's done. Who redeems or purchases or buys your life. I love that. Buys our life from what? Destruction, meaning pit, the pit, grave, the death. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I'll tell you what, the world has no benefits like that at all, but I tell you, God does. Listen, do you know what it means to be redeemed from the pit? It means that you're not going to die. Do you understand? Oh, your flesh can't enter heaven. It's not made for heaven, flesh. You know what I'm saying? You need a brand new body to get there. This is an earth suit. You can only wear it here. Now, listen. Man, it means whenever it says redeems your life from destruction, it means God says, I'm not going to let you die. Because see, Jesus, did he taste death for everyone? Did he destroy him who had the power over death? That is the devil. Amen. We will never taste the full depth of death, but Jesus did for us. To be absent from your body, the Bible says, is to be what? Present with the Lord. Think about that. Present with the Lord. You know, Eddie, when last week when he was driving that motorcycle, and he parked it right out here all the time, and that car pulled out in front of him, and he hit that thing, and it threw him all the way down Cooper Street or whatever it was there in Arlington. You know, when they carried him to the hospital, and he immediately went on home to be with the Lord. Do you understand? He's home with the Lord. He's home right now. Think about that. Oh, listen, that journey. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious to God. He says, come on, we're going home forever and ever and ever. Amen. He redeems our life from destruction. And I don't know if you've checked your crown lately, but it just says you've been crowned with what? Loving kindness, God's loving kindness. And God's tender mercies. I tell you what, you won't find those benefits in this world, amen, but you'll find them from heaven. He says, oh, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth, man, your youth, you know, oh, your youth, yeah, is what? Renewed like an eagle, like a needle, no, an eagle. Listen, only God can satisfy a man, a woman, only God. Only God can fill you with good things. The world promises us that benefit, but it can't never. Oh, it doesn't have anything to satisfy man. And you know why? Because the Bible says in, what is it, Ecclesiastes, I think, 3:11, for God has placed eternity in every heart. See, eternal things is what we're looking for, not things that just disappear upon this planet. You know, the Bible is very clear. Jesus said about having abundance and having everything. There's nothing wrong with that. He said in what, Luke 12:15, he said, I don't know what he said. Oh, what did he say? Oh, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. No, listen, you can be the richest person in the world and you can't buy happiness, you can't buy joy, you can't buy peace, and you can't buy love. Did you know that? Oh, no, listen. He says, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. If you have money, enjoy. If you don't have money, enjoy somebody else's money. Amen? No. It says about it, renews our youth is renewed like an eagle. Listen to Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength or exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they will not faint. Man, what a word. Your youth is renewed like and eagles. I don't know if you've noticed this, but have you noticed how if you ever turn on TBN or Daystar, those guys and women, they get younger and younger and younger? I don't know what, maybe they're, never mind. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Remember what the revelation was that God gave to Moses? Remember the request in, what was it, Exodus 33? Moses says, oh Lord, show me your glory. He says, oh, Moses, you don't understand. I can't show you. You see my face, you're going to die. But he says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and it'll be like an afterglow, and you'll see my backside, God says. And remember what God showed him? Here it is. There's the answer right here. It says in our text, verse 8, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. That's exactly what God told Moses when he passed by. And he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Look at verse 10. This is a great scripture. He has not, say that, he has not what? Dealt with us, dealt with Bill, dealt with you according to our sins, nor punished us, and we could add to scripture legally, nor punished us as we deserve, amen, according to our iniquities. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you praised God for something he has not done? Well, this is a good place right here, amen. You can, oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, he did not deal with our sins. He sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to the cross to deal with the sin of the world. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? That whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He says, oh, as for the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And I'll tell you something, had God not done that, no one would be saved. Do you understand? Oh, is there a scripture more beautiful or more wonderful than this scripture? You hear me say it all the time. At every communion service, I quote that scripture. You know, if our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, can that distance ever be calculated? No. Loved one, they are gone. They are gone. I mean, he has taken our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities. Oh, and they are gone. When you come to Christ, they are carried away forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In a few minutes, you're going to hold the cup of the new covenant, the blood, if you will, in your hand. Jesus, he said, listen, when you partake of this cup, he says, I want you to do that in remembrance of me. I want you to remember that I paid your debt. I paid your sin debt. That, you know, and your sin is no longer held against you. The blood has cleansed us all from all sin. The Bible says in Micah 7:19, you will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Maybe you should stop fishing for your old sins. Amen? Stay away from that lake. It's no good. That's where they're buried. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:17 and 18, God says, and I will remember your sins no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Listen, there's no more offering for sin. Why? It is finished. It is finished. This tonight, we're partaking of the last offering for sin. Amen? Think about tonight. Go back all the way in the Old Testament. Lamb after lamb after lamb and oxen and this and goat and all the sacrifices. Tonight, you hold the last sacrifice. There'll never be another. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that. He says in verse 13, oh, as our father, he says, or as a father pities his children, So the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And you know why he remembers? Because he created us from the dust. Amen? He says, as for man, his days, they're very short. They're just like the grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. In other words, he comes up, and for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. You know what? Life is short. It's so short. God, James calls our life, he says, what is your life? It is a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Life is so short. We can't stop moving forward. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever tried, I'm not having any more birthdays? Does it work? Huh? No, it doesn't work. You're going to keep pressing, going toward that final day. Either the rapture is going to take us home or death will take us home. Do you understand? Oh, but life is short. So live. Live. That's what I told myself today, this afternoon. I've been so burdened about a particular thing, praying through it concerning the church. And I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to live. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep standing on your promise. I know that you know more about everything than I do. And why should I worry when you can do it? Hey, hallelujah. You understand? Why? I don't need to stay up all night. God says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. He can handle it. Let him stay up. I love him. Come on. I'm not being blasphemous. No. Loved one, listen. Live. Take advantage of the day. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you might have life. Zoe, the life of God. He says, but the devil, he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. What does he want to kill and steal and destroy? Your life. Listen, live while you have time. Love while you have time. You're just a vapor. Just a vapor. You don't know if today is your last day. I don't know if today is my last day. We don't have time to walk in with an unforgiving heart. We don't have time to have an accusatory spirit. We don't have time to walk in a judgmental mindset. We don't have time, loved one. Live. Love people. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. Amen? Yeah. He says, oh, but the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. Let's start handing out the communion, guys, if you don't mind. And don't just stay with me now as they start passing out the elements. But the mercy or the love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, God's love is eternal. It lasts forever. And on those who fear him and his righteous to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them, the Lord has established. Look at it. The Lord has established his throne where? See, the world has no benefit. If you want to know where the throne is, it's in heaven. Amen? He says, and his kingdom, I love it, his kingdom rules over all. Right now, Jesus, the Son of God, is seated at the right hand of God, having been given all power and all authority in heaven and upon earth. Amen? Think about that. Oh, listen, can I tell you something? The world doesn't rule. The world thinks it rules. Do you understand? Did they forget mine? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Oh, that's okay. Oh. Ernest, you're making an old man nervous. Oh, God. This is what you call proper. Sorry. I'm trying to remember now. Oh, the world. The world doesn't rule. The world thinks that it rules. Our government, it thinks that it rules. Do you understand? It doesn't rule in righteousness, but God does. Amen? And not only that, man, they think they're in control, but is man in control? No. Is science in control? No. I'll tell you who's in control. God is in control. You know why? He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He is all seeing. He is our Father which art in heaven. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen. And look what he says here. He goes, oh, bless the Lord, you, his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Oh, bless the Lord, all you host, or all his host, the armies of heaven, if you will, the angels. You ministers, or your servants of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So from personal praise to the entire universe, all of God's creation. Loved one, listen, that's a great concert one day, isn't it? Listen to me. The world has no benefit for you and for me. You know why? We are not of this world. Amen? That's right. We're not of this world. Jesus said, I chose you out of this world. We don't belong to the world. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. Amen? We have a home in heaven. It's already built. Jesus has already got. He's prepared a place for you and for me. And guess what? He may come tonight and to take us home to be with him, that where he is, we may be also. Amen? Oh, listen. You don't know. You don't know. But God knows. Why? He's in control. The world's not in control. We're not friends with this world. You know why? The world has no benefit for us. We're not friends with this world because to be a friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. In other words, we become God's enemy. Oh, no. We have nothing to do with this world. But the only benefit this world has is the church of Jesus Christ. Because we are the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. We're the ambassadors for Christ and we should be winning this world. Amen? Now, with all that being said tonight, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to listen to me for a minute. It is time. We're in the middle of a relaunch, loved one. We're getting ready to celebrate God's table, but listen to me. We're in relaunch. That's the word. You know, there go the ships. You know, launch out into the deep, Jesus said. The church is not coming home. And I'll tell you what I am grieved over. I'm going to share. I will. We have to relaunch our unity. We have to relaunch our oneness. You know the last time that this church was in unity and strong, stronger than in nearly 30 years, loved ones, stronger than any time I have ever seen it, ever. It was right before COVID. It was right there at Candy Cane Lane. It's when I saw you work so hard and love so many people and how you were one man. Do you understand? You had one heart and one mind. We have to get back home. We have to relaunch our unity. Yes, I know that we are in unity spiritually, but it needs to be manifested. Our oneness needs to be manifested. We're connected one to another. We are the body of Christ. We need each other desperately. We have to come back to that place. I prayed so hard. We must. And if we don't, spiritually conscious of it, seeking to endeavor that unity, there will be issues. The church needs to come home, and we need to work together again. We need to walk together again because we are the body of Christ. We have to relaunch those things, loved one, in the power of another, the Holy Spirit, and through the grace of God and the goodness of God. So tonight, as our hearts are prepared tonight as you have the cup and the bread in your hand. Remember what our Lord said as we look back. We've been looking back at all that Jesus has done for us. He took all of our sin. He took our shame. He took our guilt. He took our punishment. He took and died our death. He died as me and he died as you. Amen? Oh, listen, I am so thankful for that. He said, listen, it says Jesus said when he took bread, he says when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, oh, listen, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, oh, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Bible says in Romans 5, 9, much more than having been justified, declared innocent, declared righteous, that imputation from taking what belongs to another over into our account, the spotless, sinless, perfect record of Jesus Christ. He says, having been justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So we look back and we thank God tonight. Amen. Oh, I thank the Lord. And then we look ahead. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach the Lord's death till he comes. Jesus is coming. I say it every communion. He's coming. He really is coming. Amen. Oh, we may be that generation. You just don't know. Jesus said, watch, be ready, for you do not know the hour. Only my not even the angels, my Father in heaven. He's almost got it. Oh, listen. He may come for us tonight. We need to be an expectant people because he is coming. We'll not share this table one day. It's temporary, as you've heard me say so often. So we look ahead, and now we do something that's so important. We look within. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body, the blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Do you know tonight, the world has no benefit, but we have the greatest benefit on earth. Did you know that Jesus is present with us right now? He's where two or more are gathered in his name. He's right here in the midst. Amen. This is his table. It's not our table. This is, Jesus, what we do now. Don't ever forget what I've done for you. Everything that we do now, we do in remembrance of him. We belong to him. We're the bride of Christ, loved one. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight. So, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, as we look within our hearts, if there's aught there, if there's something that shouldn't, if whatever we've done, if anything, Lord, anything that has offended heaven, offended you, anything that we've said, anything that we've thought, anything that we, Lord God, have done, we ask you to wash us. Forgive us. Heal us. You who heal all our diseases, Lord, even now manifest your healing to people, known diseases and even unknown. Heal them, Lord, by your mercy, your goodness. You don't need me. You don't need man. You can do anything. Just do it, Lord, out of your love and out of your goodness. Touch people even now. Touch them in their bodies. Touch them in their loneliness. Touch them in their hurt. Touch them in the areas that where life has bruised them, oh God. Touch them because you love them. You love them so much, you sent Jesus to die for us. So, Lord, tonight, as the family of God, we take this bread, and as we do so in remembrance of you. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. The Bible says that we have not been redeemed with perishable things such as silver and gold. See, the world has no benefit, amen? But we've been redeemed, we've been purchased, eternally purchased with the blood of the Lamb. This is the new covenant. Again, God remembers our sins no more. They're as far as the east is from the west. Oh, how we need to believe our Father in heaven. Believe God's word. Listen, when God sees us tonight, He sees us in our true spiritual condition. He sees us in Christ Jesus. There's not a better place to be because He loves you just as much as He loves His own Son. I am so thankful tonight for the church. And tonight, as we as the body of Christ celebrate the cup of the new covenant, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Loved one, this cup, for my prayer tonight to your heart, we relaunch our unity. We relaunch what Jesus died for, our oneness, our sameness. You know what I mean? Meaning in the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for this cup and all that this cup means. And tonight is let oneness and unity be relaunched at Calvary. And Lord God, what we do now, we do in remembrance of you, Jesus. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the cup. Father, we praise you tonight. Lord, we know that you said that a house divided cannot stand. Lord God, I thank you that however Satan is trying to divide, Lord God, that now his plan is not only spoiled, but is simply displaced. He can touch nothing. He cannot harm your body, your bride, the church. So we give you praise for that, Lord. Father, as we just close out tonight, I pray that you visit your people in such a special way as we sing to you, Lord. We love you tonight, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. We're going to stand to our feet and listen. We're going to close out with a song. If you need prayer when the song is over, there'll be people down here to pray with you tonight. Amen. Maybe you need someone to anoint you with oil. But praise the Lord. We're here to do those things. Don't forget that after we close out and everything is taken care of that's needed, if guys, if you'll just meet, I don't know who's meeting you, but if you'll just go right over here by this door. Now, that goes to hell. Don't go to that one. I'm sorry. This is the narrow way right here. So that white door, okay? That's where you want to meet at. I don't know where all that comes from, you know. It just comes out. I don't think it's the Holy Spirit, okay? But I will say this, I love you dearly. I'm thankful for you. And I'm ready to see us back in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord tonight.